The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. From there, he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. As he entered the house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Then she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of our Lord. Be seated.
I have the young friends for a children's sermon, and even the little older friends who are receiving their sixth grade Bibles. Go on, walk in. So, 11 o'clock service, when I tell you they really do come to 8:30, I wasn't kidding. can't wait to see you all in Sunday school this year. We have classrooms for all of you, sixth graders. I can't wait to start confirmation with you. Everything is different this year in confirmation. It's going to be a lot of fun, so it's going to be a great year. So here's what I'd like to do. We'll say our prayer, and then if everybody can stay seated for a second, Miss Leanna will help me give the Bibles to the kindergartners and third graders, and then on to our sixth graders, and we'll go from there. And Vicar Emily has a fantastic sermon today. All right, so let's pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
Your stories.
Your stories.
And your love.
And your love.
Help us to share those.
Help us to share those.
With everybody we meet.
With everybody we meet.
And help us use our Bibles.
And help us use our Bibles.
To learn more about you.
To learn more about you.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. All right, everybody, can you stay seated? That'll be easier. I have a Liam in front of me. 5 3/4 years old, that's right. And then we have an Emerson, there you go, huh? All right. Now who's this James? Oh, you! And then Lindley, that's right. All right, stay seated. Okay. Thank you. All right, now we've got third graders. I've got Sadie, where did I see you hiding? Here we go, over here. Thank you very much. Jacob, we saw yours ready to go. He's going to be here today. Okay. Grant. Who's Grant? Oh, that guy. There you go, sir. Isaac. Okay, Abram. I saw Abram. You passed that to Abram? Very good. And remember, if this isn't your year, that's okay. We come out. And Sarah, there you go. All right. And the big, heavy study Bibles for the sixth graders now that they're really getting into it. Woo, got it. All right. Aiden, where are you at? You guys might have to come to me. All right. Jenna. Oh, I'm sorry. This is sixth grade Jenna. So that goes for okay. You get it another day. Do I have Jackson here? No. Adam. Is Adam here? Nope. Okay. Hagen. I saw Hagen down there. Sorry, Evan. I was in the other pile. Evan. And Kyle. Where's Kyle? There we go. All right. Well, Jenna, we'll get you when you're here. Good. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you all for coming up. You can head back to your seats. I can't wait to share the stories of Scripture with you. And if you didn't get one this year, then you're going to get one soon. Kindergarten, third, and sixth grade.
Let us pray. May the words that dwell before us sink into the hearts and souls of all who hear and speak your truth, O God. Amen. The problem with today's text, and there is a problem, is that we see all too clearly the hurtfulness of our humanity. We see a Jesus that isn't warm and fuzzy. We see a Jesus that isn't inviting or loving. Instead, we see a Jesus that is filled with judgment and hurtful words. A Jesus that stabs at the Syrophoenician woman's very existence. Something that she has no control over. And that ultimately forms her sense of identity. That's not the Jesus we put on bumper stickers or the Jesus we talk about in children's messages. It is the Jesus that reminds us of what we are capable of as humans. Jesus is holding up a mirror to our humanity, and it stings. And while I hate to admit it, I know that hidden not so deep within my own self is the ability to be just as hurtful, to say words that I can't take back, to pass judgment on unsuspecting and undeserving people, and to put my interests before others. The majority of my seminary formation is done online. I video conference live into my classes every day and have an ongoing dialogue with my professors and my classmates. Technology is essential for me to access my education, and it's essential for my classmates as well. However, one of my classmates was in a losing battle with outdated technology that was not only affecting her learning, but also disrupting mine. Every time her computer would glitch, my learning would be put on hold. Every time her video or sound failed to keep up, my ability to process with my classmates was stopped, and it was incredibly frustrating. And cruelty and judgment seeped into my thoughts and my conversations. I was angry at her for disrupting my learning because she didn't have the proper equipment. She signed on to this seminary gig knowing full well what the expectation was, and she wasn't pulling her part of the load. But then I learned her story. Her name is Mary, Sister Mary, actually, and she is a modern-day rebel. After 40-some years of serving the church as a nun, she had her own revelation, an epiphany, a reformation, if you will. At the age of 73, she realized that in her faithfulness to the church, she was part of a system that was withholding the free grace of God from those who needed it most, the lonely, the broken, the disenfranchised. In her faithfulness to the church, she had served an institution and not the kingdom of God. So she revolted. She left her order, applied to seminary, and heaven forbid, she became a Lutheran. And now she gives a prophetic voice to those of us lucky enough to sit in her midst and learn with her. Of course, Sister Mary didn't have updated technology, and of course she had difficulty navigating this new online world. Because Mary, up until her personal reformation, had little need for technology. She served the church with her entire being the best that she could. Who was I to judge? But I did. I judged Mary. I jumped to improper conclusions without even stopping to think about why the situation was even happening to begin with. I was looking at Mary through the lens of my world and not hers. And I didn't know Mary's story until I had already crafted another one for her. But Mary is so much more than the single story that I gave her. And so are we. We are all more than a single story. So here we have a story of a Jesus that from the outside is like me. Cruel, judgmental, jumping to conclusions. He's naming the Syrophoenician woman as he sees her. He's putting her in a box of circumstance, labeling her as an outsider, likening her to a dog, unworthy of eating fallen food from the table. This hurts. This is not the Jesus that we know and love, and we don't quite know what to do with that. But what if? What if in her naming, Jesus is actually saying, "I see you. I see you. that you are more than the labels and the names that the world cruelly bestows upon you. Jesus is saying, I see you. That you are more than the neighborhood you grew up in, or the money that you do or do not have. Jesus is saying, I see you. That you are more than the shameful self-talk that has this incredible ability to seep into the quiet and still places within us. You see, we all have a story. Jesus, in naming her as the world does, sees her in her fullness for who she really is. And in naming her, he takes away the power that those false narratives have over her. In the shadows of this world and in the light of God's kingdom, Jesus names her. And in doing so, he frees her from sin and guilt and shame. And the good news that in doing this, Jesus frees us too. He frees us to see people as they truly are, to check our judgment at the door and instead see others as Jesus does, to see ourselves as more than the single story that the world easily places upon us. Jesus frees you, first in your baptism and then daily in love and faithfulness. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus frees you from sin, from death, from shame, from a false narrative. Jesus is freedom. And in that freedom, we are then sent to love and serve the world. When we break the shackles of false narratives and embrace our name as child of God, we begin to see the world differently through the lens of the Lord. And we begin to respond differently too. We begin to act out of love. And we begin to invite in the name of love. Today we celebrate God's work, our hands, because we have been named and claimed and sent for this work by a God that says, I see you. But this work isn't just happening in this place, in this Augsburg community. This kingdom work is shared across the entire church. Today, ELCA congregations all around our country are gathering together to serve in the name of a God that says, I see you, I love you. Imagine the 5 projects we are serving today multiplied by thousands of congregations. That is the liberating freedom of Jesus in action that is felt and seen. Our service is a physical display of freedom found in our baptism that tells the world that they are loved, that they matter, and that they belong in this kingdom. At the end of our worship together each week, we are sent to the world with these words: Go in peace, serve the Lord. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. The thing about these words is they are not empty. They are not a casual blessing. They are not a nicety to conclude our time together. And they're certainly not a dismissal to go and enjoy your brunch, though we'd love you to do that also. In fact, they are quite the opposite. They're a command. They're a call to action. They're the church actually asking you to go and serve the Lord in all that you say and all that you do. When we speak these words, we are saying, go with peace from the comfort of this place, having been fed at the table with the bread of life, knowing that you are named and loved in your baptism, and in praise and thanksgiving Go and serve the Lord. There's a weight to this benediction, to this dismissal, to this closing of our worship together. Go and go now, without judgment, without jumping to conclusions about the circumstances of others, and without the need for self-interest. So we do that today. We leave this place knowing that we are more than the worldly names and labels. We leave this place knowing that our neighbors are more than a single story that we see through our lens. And we leave this place knowing that Jesus names us as we are, as beloved. And we leave knowing that by bringing our full selves, we are called and sent for this incredible kingdom work. And now we go, and we go boldly. So, dear ones, go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.